Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the one-on-one 10-week program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Today I want to talk about grieving the mother you never had. Grieving the mother-daughter relationship you'll never have. Grieving the fact you need to protect yourself when you are with your mother instead of receiving the nourishing love you deserve. Have you experienced that? Have you felt this sadness, this grieving? I certainly have, and that's why I want to talk about this today. It's quite a big topic. It's very important for us because this grief is so important to process, and we're gonna go through today the different phases of it, the different steps of healing these mother wounds and the cycle of it. Learning your mother is a narcissist or has toxic behaviors comes with a fair dose of grieving needed. The loss of the mother you thought you had. The loss of the mother you never had. The absence of motherly love and of a loving mother-daughter relationship. And also the loss of parts of you that are not you and that need to crumble away to make space for your identity separate from your mother. And the crumbling of expectations that will never be fulfilled, like receiving unconditional love and support from your mother. One thing that I see happening all the time with clients within the one-on-one program is a moment of tears, a moment which varies in length of deep grieving. This usually comes after unlocking the deep anger that is seated within, that we may have suppressed for a long time. Once the anger is liberated and we start protecting ourselves with the boundaries we so deserve to set in place, grief comes. This has also been my personal experience. There has been a time in my life when the use of the word mamma, which is mother in Italian, was enough to make me cry. There was so much grief there, so much sadness. The deep grief that I never truly had a mother, that the person in that role never actually embodied what a mother is meant to be. The vast contrast between my expectations and reality was the cause of such grief, and I could hardly breathe. It was that intense. So if you're ever experiencing any of this, I totally get it. And if you're listening to this and you're going, well, I've never experienced any of that, that's okay too. One thing that I've seen in my experience is that we are really skilled at suppressing, especially the emotions that get very, very uncomfortable when we feel them. The invitation is to keep an open mind that you may not have felt it yet, but if you have a narcissistic mother or a very toxic mother, if you've been through a lot of abuse and you've realized it and you're beginning to set boundaries and you're separating, it's okay to feel really good and to feel really liberated in that. That's really okay, but there may be a layer of grief there. And once we soften into it and feel it, we go even deeper into the healing process. So we said that was the cause of the grief, that vast contrast between my expectations of what a mother should have been and reality of what my mother actually is and was. So there's the thing, that gap between expectations and reality. The knowing that the mother is meant to be unconditional love, unconditional support, nourishing of your growing into an empowered and self-reliant adult, validating your inner compass and validating your emotions, confirming of your strengths and proud of all of you. This is what we know a mother is meant to be, and then there's the harshness of reality, which is very, very far away from ideal. It's nothing like that. This gap is at the base of the grief that we feel, the grief of separation from unconditional love. What was meant to be given to us never was. And in its place, instead, we got a lot of abusive and toxic behavior. And this realization is at the base of the anger we feel. So the gap between what naturally inside our heart, like as an instinct, we know a mother is meant to be, and what we received instead, that gap is where the grief is. And then the realization that what we've received instead is so toxic and so abusive, and it's had such an impact on our life, that's where the anger is sitting. So anger and grief in waves are part of this healing journey where we become aware of the mother wounds we carry and we move in the direction of reclaiming our life. So as you start this journey of reclaiming your life, reclaiming your fullness, you are going to go through waves of anger and grief. And we can resist it, we can try to suppress it, we can try to keep busy and distract from it. But the real, real healing comes when we can go through these waves and allow the emotion to move through, process that, and then come the other side of the wave with a deeper, deeper sense of being grounded, joyous, happy, and at ease in our system. So if you're experiencing a lot of grief, where does all this grief come from and why now? So if your mother is narcissistic or has narcissistic traits, chances are you have lived a part of your life trying to survive, learning ways to cope. The so-called coping strategies, which are to be honored as they allowed you to get to here. A part of coping with such situation is the suppression of feelings, of emotions, of what is truly going on inside you, likely because of all the gaslighting you've received growing up, the invalidation of your emotions, and the need to put your mother's emotional state first. There comes a point when this is no longer available to you. A point that makes you realize what is truly going on. This can be a crisis of some sort, a haha moment, the final straw. You come in contact with information that makes you realize what has truly been going on. You learn of maternal narcissism. You may go through a phase of denial at first. I definitely did. You may be gaslighting yourself. I definitely did. But eventually you come to terms with the fact that your mother's behavior fits in the description of toxic or narcissistic. Maybe some traits of it, maybe not her overall behavior, but the point is some of her behaviors, whether you want to label them or not, which is actually ultimately really not important. A label is just a label. It's only a tool for us to understand things better, but it can be an oversimplification of a complex human being. So let's not get too caught up in a label. But you've realized that some of your mother's behaviors, if not all, depending on the case, have been having an impact on your life that is highly toxic, that has been unhelpful, that is now affecting pretty much everything in your life. So now you start looking into all the behaviors. You start seeing the past with new eyes. You start realizing how all of it is impacting your everyday present life, your work, your relationships, your parenting, and so on. So let's recap the phases up until this point. So we suppress because we're coping. We're coping with the mother we have. We're coping with life, ultimately. We gotta survive with the cards we've been dealt with the parents we have, and so we suppress as much as we can in order to cope. We create coping strategies. At some point, these coping strategies One of them, many of them, they crack. Something happens. There's a crisis. Your mother gets so toxic that you have to put an end to it. Something happens that makes you go, oh, I need to look into this a little bit more. And you learn about maternal narcissism. You may or may not have gone through a phase of denial of this. But then after that, we are beginning to look into and analyze all the different behaviors. This could be because we're trying to understand it better, or this could be because we're actually arguing internally with our own denial. But that's what we do. And so we start looking to all the different aspects of the relationship. We understand the impact that this mother-daughter relationship is having on our everyday life in the present, and the what ifs come in. So what if I was different? What if my mother could change? What if I talked to my mother? What if I was a better person? And so on. So we start kind of testing this theory and doubting ourselves, trying to maybe see if we can change our mother's behavior. At this point, we get into the next phase, which is you get to a place where there's no space for what ifs anymore. You're actually done with that. And at this point, you start feeling the anger. You realize the extent of the abuse you've been subjected to since childhood. You really realize your mother is not going to change and doesn't want to listen to you. Not really, not truly. She doesn't really want to validate where you're at and what your emotions are. You realize the amount of inner work you need to do to reclaim your life because of your mother's emotional immaturity, and you get angry. There's an anger there. This looks different and somewhat similar for everyone. Different in the sense that the timings vary, and what makes you angry might be different from what made me angry, maybe. Similar in the sense that we all go through it at some point. We all need to tap into this simmering anger, which if suppressed, either comes up in uncontrolled rage, or it backfires inside, causing us to be unwell mentally and even physically. So this anger is really important, and as much as it feels uncomfortable to go through it, and when I'm talking about anger, I mean, we could do an entire episode just on this topic. I'm not talking that you have to become an unreasonable person that goes yelling at people all the time. That's not. But you're feeling it inside. You're feeling this. It's like a volcano that's inside. It's like the power and the force behind the word enough. I just can't take this anymore. That's the anger. That's what's coming up. So after we emptied the backlog of anger, we can access it as healthy fuel for boundary setting. So that energy of anger, it's actually what is at the base of boundaries, is what fuels your no when you need to say no to something. And so at this point, we start protecting ourselves. So we went through the denial, we went through the coping first, years and years and years of that. That's years. Like in my case, that was about 36 to 37 years of my life was actually in the coping section. Then after that, there was a bit of denial. And then there were plenty of what ifs. And then it speeds up. And then the anger came. And the boundaries, I went no contact, as you know, if you've listened for a while, it's not that I went no contact as my first boundary, but when I set the boundaries, those were completely trampled on. And so that became the consequence to my boundaries not being respected. So we start protecting ourselves. And at this point, we meet the grief. What also comes after the anger is the grief. The tears that have been there and unexpressed for so long. And almost every time, without fail, after a client goes through an anger release, the tears come. And they need to empty. The only way to process grief is to go through the wave. You may not even know why you're crying, and it's okay not to know. You don't need to label it all the time. Letting the tears fall is healing in itself. In those moments when there's this softening, there's such healing in letting the tears fall. A listener shared how she has realized that what she thought was a feeling of guilt after setting a boundary with her mother was indeed a feeling of grief. And I thought this was very, very, very interesting, and a great level of awareness, actually, that when you set a boundary, yes, many of us feel guilt in boundary setting, because there is all this conditioning about being a bad daughter, about that behavior we don't do, that there's all of that, and that's there, and I get that. But there are moments where we actually get through that, and we've overcome the guilt, and yet this sadness comes over. And I've actually experienced it literally in this week coming up to this episode, a very, very, very intense wave of sadness for a couple of days. And I know that I have had to set some extra boundaries with my family recently, mainly internal boundaries, actually. There wasn't a lot of spoken, but I didn't know where this feeling was coming from. And actually, thank you so much to this listener. Reading her email, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's just grieving. It's grieving. It's another layer of grieving. And it's just a wave. Go through it. And in fact, after a couple of days that passed, but often we try to suppress it because it is uncomfortable. I mean, I was going around feeling sad, although there's no apparent reason to feel sad. But yeah, the waves, we gotta ride them. And so the grief for the fact that she will never have a supportive connection, this listener was saying, is the grief what she experienced. So it's not the guilt anymore, it's now grief for the fact that she will never have a supportive connection with her mother, and that she will always have to protect herself from her whenever they interact. The grief that comes from realizing her mother will never change. And there is a grief there. So what I want to say to you, dear listener, is that this is an amazing insight and awareness to have. With each boundary, you are tapping into the energy of anger, and the grief comes after that. The grief of what you're saying no to. You're saying no to the toxic behavior, but there's a grief in the fact that you even have to say no to your mother. There's a part inside that feels you shouldn't have to. If your mother was a mother with a capital M, you wouldn't have to set that boundary. But as we know, that is the situation we're in. We gotta set those boundaries. There is a point of acceptance that is just how things are, and that our mothers are not going to change. And so the only way is to go through the grief, to really feel the wave, let it come, and let it go. Because that's what these waves do. If you don't resist it, if you don't get angry with yourself for feeling that, if you don't try to figure it out and rationalize it, and you just, a part of me feels sad today. That's it. That's all you need to say. That's to yourself. And maybe if you have some people around you that are asking you how you are, and they're loving you and they're nice to you, then you can also say that to them as well. Like I say to my husband or to my children, it's like, part of me feels sad today, but that's okay. I'm just going through the wave and it'll be fine. When clients come to me saying they've been crying a lot in a way that's unusual for them, I usually congratulate them. And they look at me wide-eyed as if I've lost my mind. They probably, in that moment, they question, why am I giving this woman money? And then we joke about it. But it is true. There's so much healing in allowing the waves of grief through. in allowing the tears to fall, in letting what's inside come out, even if it feels uncomfortable in the moment. And something that we also need to remember when this happens is that for the majority of us, this has never been safe. Actually, for all of us, if you had a narcissistic mother, a toxic mother, an emotionally immature mother, you were not safe to really feel into yourself and feel what was there for you. Tears were definitely not safe. So when your nervous system starts feeling safer, so that means when within the context of the one-on-one program, it means that that client that's coming to me with tears has done from the start to that point the great work to actually get their nervous system to feel safer. And when this happens, tears unlocked, because these tears have been held inside in that place of we're not safe to express, we're not safe to feel, we're not safe to go there. There's rooms in our psyche, there's rooms in our body that we haven't even looked into because it was not safe to go there. You can't be vulnerable in front of someone toxic or narcissistic because they're gonna break you to pieces, figuratively speaking, and sometimes physically as well. So we cannot show that vulnerability. We're not safe to do that. But when we're building that safety in the system, then these rooms unlock, they open, and stuff gets released, which really needs to be released. So it's such a good sign. That's why I say to a client that's coming to me, oh my God, last week, I don't know what happened, but I've cried so much. It's like, I cried at anything. It's so unusual for me. I don't do that. I'm like, congratulations, because your nervous system is now feeling safer, and it's feeling safe enough to let out all this stuff that was stuck inside your system, inside your body. Even if we deny it's there, that stuff is there anyways. And until it's released, it's holding us back. And the fear, the subconscious fear of releasing all these emotions and all these waves and all these tears actually holds us back in life. What if I get into a situation where I end up being vulnerable all of a sudden, and then I'm so unsafe, and then I get so hurt? So I'm going to harden up, keep it all in, and avoid all those situations that could make me lose it. This is what's happening in the subconscious. So this is how resisting this, which we do subconsciously, we don't mean to do it, but this is how resisting this creates blocks in our life. So that's why I congratulate the people that come to me saying that they've been crying. And it's a phase. It doesn't happen. You're not becoming someone that cries all the time forever. It's a moment where you need to process this grief, and then it's going to come again. It's going to come again in waves, of course. It's not done in one go. But you then learn that they're just waves. So when we allow the tears to come, we move through a layer and we get to our real self. We get to what lies beneath grief. And that, so we have anger, then there's grief, and what's underneath it is love. Sounds cheesy, but that's what's there. That is actually what's there. You get to access love for yourself. You know all this talk about self-love? I mean, everyone's saying you have to love yourself. It's all about self-love. Love yourself more. Self-love, self-love, self-love. We can't access that until we go through the anger and the grief. If we try to go to self-love directly, so you're like, you think you're not enough, you're self-loathing, you're feeling bad, blah, 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 and you just try to rationalize yourself into self-love, you're bypassing a whole lot of steps, and so that self-love becomes positive thinking, becomes a mental rational exercise, but it's not ultimately an embodied experience, which means it's not going to last. Until we move through these layers of anger and grief, we can't actually access the real juicy, the real deal self-love. So when you go through this layer, you get to access love for yourself. You get to access acceptance and compassion for yourself. Again, the real deal, not the time, the mind-led, rationalized one. And at times, you might even access compassion for your mother. Although, I would never say that that's necessary right now. But this can actually be the case. I've seen clients that went all the way to that. Naturally by themselves. So again, not a positive thinking, rationalization, mind-led stuff, but actually went all the way there. And it's not necessary, as I said, having compassion for your mother is not actually necessary in your own healing journey, but the love for yourself is. That's very necessary. As we said, there's a gap between the mother you expected to have and the one you now realize you have. And the grief is there. Anytime we feel into that gap, without denying this gap and without suppressing the grief, we get to empty the tears in waves and we get to the love underneath. And that is unconditional love. Very much, can you see that link? Very much we access the mother energy we have been searching for. So this gap that caused us all this grief actually closes. Because when we go through the anger and the grief and we find this unconditional loving underneath, we actually find mother energy, which is what we were looking for in this person who is not able to give it, is not able to give it to us. This is the unlimited, unconditional mother love that is inside each of us. It's inside of you and can be accessed completely independent from the actual biological mother you have. This is like the most empowering thing ever, isn't it? So we've been searching for this thing, from this love, from this nourishment, from this person in the flesh that actually, for her own reasons and her own story and her own trauma, whatever, she's not able to give it to us. And we've been suffering the lack of this for years. But when we go through all these phases and we go through the anger, we go through the grief, and we access the love underneath, again, it's a process and it's waves and it's in cycles. It doesn't happen all at once, but we tap into unlimited, unconditional mother love that is inside of you. This force is inside of you and it's there underneath the layer of grief. This comes with the acceptance that your mother is what she is, that she will never change, that all that's happened to you is not your fault, that you are perfect as you are, and that there's an infinite pool of love inside of you that you can access anytime. From this place, you can gently release the expectations you place on the person that is your biological mother. And releasing those expectations decreases the grief. There's a backlog of grief that we need to move through, of course. But we're not generating more grief because we are releasing the expectations. This is key. I know that they say, it's one of the things that you hear all the time about when you're relating with a narcissistic mother, a toxic mother, manage your expectations. And again, there's a lot of wisdom in that. We manage our expectations. We need to bring our conscious choice and our rational mind to it, our adult mind, and go, okay, we got to manage our expectations. There's no point to expect this woman to be any different than what she is. And rationally, we do a great job at that. But that's not enough. When we get to this place of finding this unconditional love, this pool of unconditional love that is underneath the grief, we actually start naturally in a really embodied experience releasing the expectations on our biological mothers, which stops creating this grief again and again and again. And we get nourished by a much deeper and never-ending form of love, which is inside of you. So you release those expectations, not because of a mind-led exercise, but you actually really do, because you don't need that anymore. You can actually look at your mother and go, well, she is what she is. She is what she is. But I've got so much love inside of myself. I don't need her to be any different than what she is. Let her be what she is. Whether you're in contact, in no contact, whatever, that's actually irrelevant. The inner work, no matter the level of contact, the most important part is always your inner work. I said that many times, when you go no contact, if you don't do the inner work, your mother is still sitting in the room with you. Even if she's thousands of miles away from you and you haven't talked to her for years, even if she's dead, she's still sitting in the room with you until you do the inner work. And she always will be if you don't do the inner work. That's just how it is. You gotta work inside of yourself. That's where the healing happens. But when we find this pool of super love that we have inside, that's actually the inner work. We don't need her to be any different anymore. And you can access that love inside of yourself. So in this, there's no gap anymore between what you should be receiving and the reality you live, because you are receiving this unconditional love from the mother energy within you. And from there, you can tap into the support that is around you, even if it doesn't come directly from your biological mother, because you open up. If you open up to receive the unconditional love that is inside of you, you actually open up to receive love and support from those wonderful people that are coming into your life as a result of that. May not be your mother. It's not going to be your mother, but who cares? There's going to be a beautiful amount of people that will actually come into your life that is going to resonate with that. And we love you from there. So you release the need for her to be all that you needed her to be. As you can source all of that, first from inside of yourself and then from all around you. From other fulfilling relationships, from moments of joy and nourishment in your day, from breath, from like the simplicity of taking a good breath, and so on. All of it is available for you once you allow yourself to feel the grief that's there. It's a cycle that goes on, each time a layer deeper. As I said, it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen in one go. But you feel that anger. So we've moved from the coping strategies, we've moved from denial, we've moved from the what ifs and the negotiating. It's literally like going through the five stages of grief, isn't it? And then we go into the anger, we feel the anger, there's a wave of it. Then we feel the grief that's underneath and there's a wave of it. And then we get to that acceptance of what is, and we're accessing the love inside of ourselves. So, and then there may be something else that causes to feel anger, and we get another wave of that, and then we build more safety into the nervous system, and we get grief, and then again we're accepting what is, and then again we're accessing more love, and it just goes in cycles, in waves. And you learn to ride these waves, and they get less and less uncomfortable, and you know what happens, actually, they get more and more exciting. They get more and more exciting because, you know, it's juicy. You know, okay, I've had 2 days of sadness last week. I am liberating even more. Going through this wave, I'm reclaiming myself even more, learning more about myself and liberating even more, becoming more and more my authentic self. So actually, at the beginning, it's really uncomfortable. But the more you go along this journey, the more it gets exciting. It actually gets like, ooh, what's the next layer gonna be? So yeah, I hope this was helpful, and there was a lot there today. So just again to recap, this grief that you may be feeling, this sadness for the mother you've never had, for the fact that your mother is not gonna change, for the parts of you that you have to let go of in order to build your own identity, to find your own identity, to receive your own identity, is a necessary step. Going through this grief, process it, let the wave come and let the wave go, allow the tears, is such an important step. We go through anger, we find the grief, well, the grief finds us, more accurately, and then from there we open up to receive that unconditional love that is inside, which is actually the mother love that we've always wanted, and it has always been there. So we're building the pathway, we're traveling that pathway to be able to receive the love that is inside. That is inside of you. It's an incredible force, an incredible energy, and it is there. And when you go through all of these, you start actually releasing the expectations from your biological mother, which is such a liberating thing to do. So with that, if you want to share your experience in the comments, that's always welcome. You are welcome to send an email to Mathilde@womenreclaimingyourfullness.me, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me, excuse me, if you have questions. And with that, I wish you a wonderful week and lots of love. Bye for now.